every woman on the planet has been indoctrinated. Every television show they've seen, every magazine article, they see the woman smiling and shoveling salad into her face. And so many women have grown up thinking, oh, I guess I should just have a small salad and water and I'll let him eat the ribeye. And my guest today, I'm honored to have, is an optometrist, Dr. Lisa Wiederman, who has been eating nothing but meat for the last 13 years. She saw all the television commercials and all of the subtle social innuendo that women should eat plants. And she said, I'm going to have the ribeye. He can eat whatever he wants. And I freaking love that. She's cut from the same cloth that Nisha and I are. And I'm so proud to have her on today. Welcome, Dr. Lisa. So glad to have you.
Thanks, Dr. Ken. It's so great being here. You know, I'm so passionate as a medical professional with other medical professionals to get this word out, because I think it lends credence and credibility to this, that this is not some wacky fad freak diet. This is not some quick fix weight loss scheme. This is medical professionals who are intelligent and research for themselves. I know you don't take your health lightly. I don't take my health lightly. There's cardiologists that eat this way, orthopedic surgeons, neurosurgeons, OBGYNs. It's spreading. And I think the more that we speak out and we get the word out that, yeah, carnivore can seem very unusual to many, but you know what's unusual? What's really weird and unusual is the fact that there's 5 million products out there made by food companies that are trying to get you addicted to it so that you keep buying it. Then you buy into getting sick, and then you're in the healthcare industry, and then you're feeding the pharmaceutical industry. That's what's weird.
Absolutely. And what's weird currently in the United States, doctor, is that being metabolically healthy, because only about 8% of an American adults are metabolically healthy. They don't have any markers of metabolic syndrome. So it's currently weird and unusual and strange to be perfectly healthy in American society. And I am busy trying to change that. And I know you are too. Let's talk a little bit about your story, Doc. Why in the world, 13 years ago, did you say, you know what, screw some plants, I'm just going to eat meat from now on?
Yeah, mine was a long, pretty much almost lifelong journey for me. Coming to the discovery and realizing that I was a sugar, carb, food addict, a binge eater, an eating disorder sufferer. I went so long trying to seek the answer. Why couldn't I stop eating this stuff? Why am I addicted to it? Why am I so drawn to it? And it was so frustrating. And, you know, there were times it brought me to tears. I could not understand. I didn't understand the pull and the draw and the power of sugar. And when you combine the fat, the sugar, and the salt the way these companies do, it gets even escalated even past just the level of sugar addiction. And I was so fortunate to happen upon Charles Washington's Zeroing In on Health forum. This is way before Facebook. This is in 2009. It was 13 and a half years ago. Thankfully, surfing the web at midnight and came upon it. And there was women in there writing about how it resolved themselves of their food addiction. And then people saying it cured their diabetes. And then people saying it had cured their arthritis and their depression. And I kept reading in these little journals, because this was just a little forum of not that many people. And I just was glued. And I said, you know what? I'm going to jump in and do this. And then I'm going to keep studying and figuring out if it's healthy. And then we read Stephenson, Fat of the Land, Not by Bread Alone. We really shared a lot of information. And Owsley Stanley, he'd been doing this for a real long time. And then there was Joe and Charlene Anderson. This couple had been doing it for, at that point, probably about 10 to 20 years, and resolving severe Lyme disease issues. And it was all these anecdotal stories of people resolving significant severe health issues. And I said, all right, let's keep going. And the longer I did it, the better I felt. It relieved me of cravings. It relieved me of my food, you know, obsession. And I said, wow, there's really something to this. And now I'm at the point where I just feel so impassioned to try to help people transition into it if it's something that they feel is for them. And that's really how I got into it. And then it segued, being an eye doctor for 30 years, I started helping patients. I had patients with chronic severe dry eye. I had patients with recurring uveitis that came from autoimmune issues like arthritis or ankylosing spondylitis, a lot of complicated, you know, autoimmune issues. And I started planting the seed about this way of eating. And it was incredible, the feedback that I got from some of these patients who actually had what I call, listen to, they look like I got two heads, right? If they're, what do you mean, doc? I'm just going to eat meat, seafood, and eggs, and that's it? I'm like, yeah, give it a try. But yeah, you have to really be motivated, you know?
Absolutely. And I definitely want to talk about optic health, eye health, because that you've been practicing optometry for 30 years. And so I know that once you discovered the power of this way of eating, you started to recommend this to at least some of your patients. I would guess now all your patients. But first, I want to ask all 1,300 people, I want to know where you're watching from. What city, what state, what country are you in right now? Tell us in the comments, because I want Dr. Wiedemann to see where everyone's watching from. This is crazy. We've got 1,600 now. You guys, tell me where you're watching from in the comments. And if you want to help people improve their eye health and their overall health, please share this video on your favorite social media. Don't share it on that social media you hate. Share it on your favorite one. So let's talk about eye health, Doc, and some of the transformations in eye health that you've seen over your 30 years as a practicing optician or optometrist. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the interesting, let's call it quagmire here, is that it's not the standard of health for me to discuss this. And it is not the standard of care to treat things this way. Wow, shocking. Root cause is not the standard of care. It's prescribed medication. And I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that because I don't want to band-aid anything. And I don't want to say, oh, dry eye, here's Restasis. Take this the rest of your life. It's not curing the problem. The problem is the meibomian glands and the oil producing sebum, that, you know, glands that are so responsible for the health of the tear film. There's so many factors of so many different eye diseases. And it's really interesting just because, you know, I've kind of come into this whole carnivore world in the past couple years, that because I became really passionate about not letting people be so bamboozled by our medical system and watching what mainstream media, I get sick when I look at junk mail that comes in and they're talking about the opposite of what we should be doing. And I go crazy. And I'm like, you know what? People have to know, and I have to help get the word out. And then that's where I love jumping in with you, because you have that same goal, is don't let people be misled and misinformed. And how ironic that we're all labeled and tagged as misinformation. But for me as an eye doctor, yeah, I do talk about it. I have diabetics and I show them a picture. Look, you have bleeding in the back of your eye. This is the start of diabetic retinopathy. This is serious. And I say, you can reverse this. You do not have to be on medication the rest of your life. You don't. And I said, but you do have to do it by what you eat. And when I start, they're all in, they're like, all right. And I say, they're like, what do I have to do? I go, well, you're going to eat lots of fatty meat, and you're going to eat, you can eat seafood, you can have eggs, you can even have some dairy. But they're like, oh, but I'm Italian, I can still have pasta and bread, right? I'm like, no, there's the trade-off. But guess what? You don't have to go stand in line at the pharmacy or go wait in the waiting room at your doctor. How's that? Absolutely. How's that?
Yeah. And I saw years ago, I saw an optometrist or an ophthalmologist on Twitter saying, oh, if you suffer from dry eye, you should try to drink a gallon of water a day. And I was thinking about my anatomy and physiology, and I got out, you know, did some research. I'm like, so you think just forcing water that's what causes the eye to be dry. If you're not drinking enough water, it has nothing to do with that lipid layer holding the water in, which is literally made from the diet that you eat. That has nothing to do. Just drink more water. That's your answer. And that's the kind of shit I see on social media all the time. And that doctor thought, well, it's obviously good to drink lots of water. So I'm just going to tell them this. And hopefully it'll help the dry eye. It's like, no, dude, that won't help the dry eye at all. It's all about the fats you eat and the vitamins and minerals you get. That's what builds that layer of lipids over that holds the water in. Do you see stuff like that on social media that just makes you pull your hair out?
Yeah, it makes me crazy. Totally crazy. And you know, the tear film is such a complicated actual part of our eye. It actually has three layers: a mucin layer against the eye, an aqueous layer, which is that more watery layer, and then the oily layer, which keeps it from evaporating in between our blinks, because we have to be able to hold our eyes open to see. That outermost oil layer is from the meibomian glands in our upper and lower lids. They have to be functioning at top level to be able to secrete that sebum and be able to have a healthy, you know, eye that is not dry. The other thing that always comes up is macular degeneration, and the standard of care is to tell people to take these AREDS2 vitamins. And to me, you know, I always say do the opposite of what they're telling you out there, because you go look on cureamd.org. That's Dr. Chris Kenobi's really great website dedicated to macular degeneration. And he has a whole section on his website about synthetic vitamins and how they cherry picked studies that AREDS2, the AREDS2 study that is what us eye doctors are all required as standard of care to recommend to the macular degeneration. You look on that website, you will see there's actually shocking information about how those synthetic vitamins are not the answer. And bottom line, there's so many people that now come toward me knowing that I'm an eye doctor and carnivore for over 13 years. And they'll say, can you tell me, can it reverse glaucoma? Can it help keratoconus? Can it help? They ask all these different, you know, maladies. I don't have personal experience. I don't have a patient who, you know, a simple glaucoma patient that's been taking drops to control their pressure. And now am I going to tell them to dramatically change their diet, eat carnivore, come back in 6 months? That doesn't happen. That's not reality. But I can tell you, I have people who have written to me now and said, I went carnivore because of severe arthritis. I was also a glaucoma patient, or I was suspect and borderline, and now that's reversed and better. Like, I hear so many great testimonials from people about things that have reversed. And my opinion, truly, after being in this so intensely for so long, is that when you remove the toxins from your diet, sugar, grains, seed oils, and you eat a healthy, optimal human diet, your body is in gear. It wants to heal. Our bodies are not evolutionarily made to be in a disease state. True. So that's the key. I think it's going to help everything. And that's my trifecta, really: the sugar, the grains, the seed oils. You eliminate them and you're on a really good path.
Yep, that's excellent. First three steps: eliminate all sugar, both added and naturally occurring. And we'll talk about fruit in a minute. Number two, eliminate all the grains. All of them are full of starch. They turn into sugar and they also cause inflammation. Number three, eliminate all vegetable seed oils and use animal fats only, in my opinion. You can pipe in on that as well. So many people think that fruit just has fructose. They're like, oh, you can eat lots of fruit because it won't raise your blood sugar. And I know that, you know, that's absolutely false. Any fruit has at least a little bit or a lot of bit of both glucose and sucrose that go along with the fructose. And so many influencers out there they seem to think it's just fructose and nothing else, but that's absolutely not true. I made a video a couple of years back about macular degeneration. One of the studies I found, and I went ahead and included it in the video, even though I thought it was suspect, was that you should eat some greens every day. And I know so many optometrists and ophthalmologists will recommend to their patients a plant-based diet because you need all those magical phytonutrients. What have you found in your practice, people converting from carnivore to plant-based or vice versa, and how their eye conditions improved or worsened based on that change?
Yeah, you know, so interesting, the whole history of macular degeneration in the past 100 years is where it exploded. And in Dr. Kenobi's studies, and he looks back, it was rare, one in hundreds of thousands back in, let's say, 1910. And right around 1910, 1911 is when Crisco came out and these, you know, seed oils started coming into our food system, and it exponentially went up. It's not because of having getting more sun. It's not about putting sunglasses on to protect your macula. There's been sun for millions of years. That has nothing to do with that. There's also been plants for all this time. People are not all of a sudden not eating plants and getting macular degeneration. It is the seed oils. It is the processed food. It's the sugar. It's the grains. It's that is causing all the disease states in our body. And it all depends on where your body decides to attack you. Is it your joints for arthritis? Is it your insulin resistance for diabetes? Is it your eyes for macular degeneration? All of that. And standard of care for me is to tell the patient, you got to eat lots of leafy greens and vegetables. And you know what? My opinion is there's a lot of toxins in vegetables, and they want to stay here on the planet. They don't want us to eat them. So their defense mechanism is biochemical defense mechanism. So my opinion, and I know there's a lot of conflicting opinions out there, especially with the plant-based world trying to attack us carnivores to get us to, you know, get off of this soapbox that we're on. But I don't think we'll ever shut up because we feel too good and too many others coming to this feel too good. But yeah, I've had patients who, for sure have halted the progression of their diseases, whether it's cataracts, macular degeneration, dry eye. I have people reverse severe blepharitis, reverse uveitis, and reverse some of the signs that I had been seeing in their maculas. Because you tell somebody, you know, this, you have this condition, and if it progresses, you could go blind. That's sometimes a why that can make you cry. And sometimes people are willing to take you seriously instead of looking at you like you've got two heads on your shoulders.
Yep. A good, very common question. Someone's been frightened about TMAO in meat, and the guru that they watched didn't tell them that there's actually more TMAO in fish. So most of the gurus will say, oh yeah, eat the fish, but don't eat red meat. It's full of TMAO. And it's like, no, dude, you don't even know what you're talking about. First of all, Michael, TMAO has not been proven causative to any pathology whatsoever. There's literally no research that shows a causative effect of eating or making lots of TMAO from your diet and your increased risk of cancer or any other disease. Do you hear a lot about TMAO, Doc?
Not in particular. And you know what? I'm so, and my followers know, I am so keep it simple. You know what? Eat the meat that you can afford that you enjoy. It's a hell of a lot better than the Pop-Tarts, donuts, cookies, ice cream, nachos, pizza, and pasta that you've been eating. Okay. So why are we all of a sudden worried about TMAO and eating organs or not eating organs, or PUFAs, you know, the polyunsaturated fatty acids in the pig? You know what? Eat the bacon. And then to your point too, what is often talked about in one thing, and it's even more in another, is the nitrates and the nitrites. There's more of that in celery than there is in bacon. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Eat the damn bacon, get over your cravings, eat enough of it that you don't eat cupcakes, and you're going to be a world ahead of where you were.
And, absolutely.
And stop fretting about this stuff.
Yeah. And I'll give everybody a hint. There's going to be a new substance coming within the next 3 to 12 months that all the plant-based people, all the vegan people are going to be like, oh my God, meat contains X, Y, R, Q. And there's some studies in fruit flies that show that it might cause an 80% increase in fill in the blank. Like literally every 6 months to a year, there's going to be a new chemical that comes from eating meat that, oh, it might cause cancer. It might cause impotence. It might cause something terrible. No, it doesn't. Billy the Kid, I've got a video about dementia on this channel, at least one, if not two or three. Watch those videos and you'll be very happy with the answer that you find there. What about severe retinopathy, Doc?
Well, so I always have a cautionary word as far as any scarring that's been happening from geographic atrophy from macular degeneration or some severe proliferative retinopathy that a diabetic who's been having severe issues for many years, you know, there's a certain point where there can't be a reversal. But you know what? Honestly, I just still feel like if you can halt the progression, you know, you're ahead of the game right there. And then as far as, you know, Alzheimer's, anything and everything that any of you out there watching right now can write in and say, what about X, Y, or Z? Whatever anybody's individual issue that they're dying to know, is this going to help that? The answer is yes. Changing to this healthy way of eating is going to help. Our body, like I said before, our bodies are made to evolve, right? We're made to have sex and be healthy, because without that, we become extinct. And as an organism, we are here to heal. You cut yourself, you heal. You get bacteria, your body fights it off. We just have to get out of its way.
Yeah. And a good question from God Sony. What about rice? And this brings up kind of the false choice that I talk about a lot. People are like, oh, don't eat white rice, eat brown rice. Don't eat, you know, wheat, eat whole wheat. Don't eat, you know, this, eat that. And they basically give people this false choice of, oh, if you eat brown rice instead of white rice, you'll be healthier. No one ever stops to consider, should we eat rice at all? In my opinion, rice is a starvation food. If you're starving, Godsoni, eat all the rice. It will keep you from starving to death. Yes, but if what you're looking for is to optimize your health, your eye health, and the health of the rest of your body, don't eat rice. Rice is a starvation food. Wheat, rice, oats, corn, beans, legumes, peas, all that stuff's great if you're starving or if you're trying to feed prisoners or slaves, or in the United States, school children. It's super cheap to feed them a diet full of wheat, rice, oats, corns, beans, legumes, and peas, and they won't starve, but they'll start to develop metabolic syndrome. They'll start to develop chronic inflammation, and eventually, as adults, they'll be sick. But you don't really feel like you caused that as the dietitian in charge of the cafeteria food. You're like, no, it couldn't have been that. They must have been eating white rice instead of brown rice. How often do you see this false choice? Like, oh, stop this and do this. When really they're both either equally bad or one slightly less bad, but they don't talk about the ultimate health food, which is fatty red meat.
Yeah, think about the nutrient density of a piece of ribeye and a cup of rice, whether it's brown rice, jasmine rice, white rice, I don't care what kind of rice it is. Think about the nutrient density and what do you want to put in your body and what was your body ideally made to process and take in as far as nutrients. There's so many conflicting things that people are bombarded with, you know, like have salt, don't have salt, you know, you got to have fiber. No, I haven't had fiber in 13 years and I go to the bathroom just fine in case anybody's
going to ask. All right. Yes. Let's talk about constipation. I already saw some comments about this. So many people think that fiber is mandatory for colon health. That is mandatory. If you have any hopes or dreams of having a bowel movement, you've got to have some fiber in your diet. But Doc, you haven't eaten fiber in 13 years. Am I hearing you correctly? So you've been constipated for 13 years. How's that going?
Oh, it's building up. I got to go. No, there's nothing of any validity. Read the book Fiber Menace. It's a great book about, you know, how we really don't need fiber. And actually the thought that fiber is actually detrimental to us and actually is abrasive and might cause polyps, right? Like everybody's so worried about their colon health, but who's dictating that fear in us? It's the media. It's like, oh my gosh, you have to have the colonoscopy and you've got to be eating lots of fiber and you have to be regular and go to the bathroom every single day, twice a day. And like, No, you know what? You go to the bathroom when you naturally have to go to the bathroom when you eat this natural diet.
Absolutely. And so many people, when they convert to carnivore, if they try it for 30, 60 or 90 days, which I highly recommend everybody watching this, please try 30, 60 or 90 days of carnivore, preferably 90. And I want to know in the comments, what are all you guys eating right now? All 2,300 of you, what diet are you following? And if you're vegan or vegetarian, put it in the comments. We're not here to judge. We're here to help. Okay. If you're eating just standard American crap, put that in the comments. If you're keto, ketovore, carnivore, please put it in the comments. I want people to see this is not some fad thing that 20 people plus me and Doc are doing. This is a quickly growing thing that hundreds of thousands of people are doing. So back to eye health, there was another thing I wanted to cover. Cataracts. Now the lens of the eye is a special snowflake because it doesn't have a blood supply at all. And so I want to talk about the lens and also the retina. The retina is an extension of the brain. It's composed of neurons or neural type matter, very slow to heal. So if somebody comes to you with severe retinopathy, moderate retinopathy, that's not going to be an overnight fix. The lens of the eye has no blood supply. And so cataracts are a big deal. Millions of people suffer from cataracts. And from my research, it looks like probably glycation, probably irregular protein folding, and maybe a couple of other things are causing the cataracts. Have you seen any regression, any improvement in cataracts from changing to a more proper human diet, keto, ketovore, carnivore? Talk about that. And then also the retina, if you want.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I have people who have written to me and said that their cataracts have been progressing over the years, which they do. They typically slowly, gradually change. And that at their last couple visits, not only did they say, yeah, that's looking fine, but actually even their prescription for their eyewear has reversed a bit and starting to back up, which is really an incredible, exciting thing to like think about that also for people. But yeah, you know, I try to tell people, I call that, you know, the standard American diet, that SAD, I call it the standard atrocious diet. And I tell people, you know what, you've been treating your body like a trash can for 30, 40, 50 years, some of you 60 years. I even have some 80-year-old people who come to me that I coach one-on-one and they're amazing and they're noticing such great changes and I love it. But just think about how many decades you've been putting in, let's just call it what it is, poison. And then you go, oh, and I did carnivore for 2 months and I still have, and I'm like, 2 months, that's a little blip in the radar here. All right. It might take 1 to 2 years. We're not right in the ship. Like, you know, this is not a fad, quick weight loss plan. This is not a quick fix. This is a progression, a journey to optimal health. This is healing. And yeah, cut your body a break. It took a while for it to become diseased. It's going to take a while for it to reverse. But as far as the lens, yeah, it's avascular. And the reason being is that when you think about it, the lens that sits right behind the pupil in the eye, if it had blood vessels running through it, that's what we would see. So it has to be avascular. It has to get its oxygen from an alternate source. So it gets it from the vitreous fluid behind the lens, the aqueous fluid in front of the lens, and also the little bit of blood vessels that go up to the edge of the eye. But, you know, it's one of those things where I'm not so sure if somebody has a severe cataract, you know, I don't think righting the ship with the carnivore diet is all of a sudden going to make you see again. We gotta just turn to medical, you know, intervention at that point, get your, you know, cataract surgery, which is safe, simple, painless, easy. But yeah, retinal, same thing, macular degeneration. The crazy thing with macular degeneration is it's over the age of 50, it's 1 in 11 people. And over the age of 75, it's 1 in 3 people. I mean, this is really catastrophic. And it's all, you know, and in my opinion, because Dr. Kenobi is 100% sure after all his 8 years of research of this, is that you can halt it and prevent it and even reverse early stages of it through this proper human diet. So yeah, I'm just so confident just from so many people who have, you know, written to me and people who I coach and some of my private personal patients here in New Jersey in my practice that for sure that food is everything. Don't think for a second that it's not everything. I mean, obviously there's some exercise, but when we talk about the majority of what your health is, it's what you put in your mouth.
Absolutely. Do you ever, you don't miss fruit juices? You never eat fruits or drink fruit juices?
I don't. And part of it for me and for many who I coach in my coaching groups, there is such a craving and a sugar addiction. I have a hard time getting people off of stevia and sweeteners. And ultimately for somebody like me and people who are really, truly keep finding fall off the wagon and fall in the ditch and they're driven to keep eating this garbage. When you are eating something over and over that you know is detrimental to your health and you don't want to eat it, yet you go back to it again, that's really a sign of an addiction. And for me, I can't eat half a mango and then leave there and leave it and then have it screaming to me in the kitchen, just finish me, right? I would be for my kids. I'd have a quart of beautiful strawberries and I'd be cleaning the stem out. Every other one went in my mouth. I clean and in my mouth and I'm like, where'd the strawberries go? Right. Oh my gosh. Dried apricots. It's like a bag of candy. Right.
So absolutely.
The reason why we love fruit and we love fruit juice is because our addictive brain is craving that sweet. And, you know, for me, it's abstinence. I can't moderate it. And it's no joke. It really isn't. And you're so much better off without it. And then you get this free, it takes a little while, some 2 to 4 weeks sometimes to white knuckle through it. But once you get over that, it's an amazing feeling to not be driven to get out of your seat and go grab some ice cream, you know? So, and addiction is no joke. It really isn't. And, you know, that's why I feel it's so important for people to understand that this is an amazing way out of that addiction because you can be so healthy and you don't have to eat that stuff. That's why I say, you know, with alcoholics, you know, you don't go to the bar anymore. You don't drink alcohol, but people say, well, with food addiction, you still have to eat food, right? Yes, but you don't have to eat the addictive food, the carbs. Thank God when I actually ended up coming into this and finding this and it totally relieved me of my own problems, I thought, wow, I hope this is healthy. I mean, it's great that it solved my problem. Then as I did more and more research, I got so excited because I was like, dang, this is the healthiest way to eat. And no, there is not a single requirement for a carbohydrate or a sugar. And, you know, cancer cells feed off of sugar, guys. I mean, I'm sorry, there, you know, you want a reality. I don't care whether it's a peach, an orange, a banana, an apple, orange juice, jelly, honey. A cancer cell is very metabolically active and its fuel source, its main desired fuel source is glucose. So
absolutely. Absolutely. We had a super chat about raw meat. Do you ever eat raw meat? Do you recommend it? Do you recommend against it?
Oh boy, I love raw meat. And it's so weird and so bizarre to say that, but I'm not going to say, I'm not in a bizarre way, like I'm not going in my fridge and just yanking meat and chewing on it like a cavewoman, but I'll say it in a more refined way. I love beef tartare. I love beef carpaccio. Okay. And I love tuna sashimi and salmon sashimi. I can get a whole platter of that when I'm at a Japanese place. No rice though, guys. but it's kind of segued into, I really feel I digest it so well. And when I make a burger, I barely sear it and the inside's still cool and raw and the fat remains in there better. I don't do well with the rendered fat that oozes out into the pan that doesn't sit well, but when it's the cold raw fat that's still in there, I am not worried. Now, of course, I'm not making any recommendations here to anybody. I'm not giving medical advice and I'm not giving any suggestions. I'm going to tell you, I go just to my local Aldi's. I happen to really love their 80-20 ground beef. It's delicious. I've eaten a lot of ground beef in my day. I'm going to tell you, this stuff is good. I eat that. I can eat that out of the package while I'm frying up a very rare raw burger. And I don't fear it. I've done this for 13 years. Is it the right thing to do? No, of course not. The whole, everybody's going to scare you. You got to cook it to 160. Okay. Yeah, that's what I did.
Exactly. Got a super chat here from HW. Carnivore, but my addiction to nicotine gum, the sweetness and aspartame and the nicotine, I think, are jacking up my insulin all day. I've been hooked on this gum since I stopped smoking 12 years ago.
Wow.
I'll tell you, as a family physician, I would rather you chew nicotine gum for the rest of your life than ever touch a cigarette again. But obviously the sweetness in that and the nicotine is probably a problem. Most of the research about the dangers of smoking didn't just focus on the nicotine. Nicotine is the addictive substance, but it's been shown in very few studies to actually be harmful unless you overconsume it. What do you think about, Doc? Any connection between eye health and nicotine?
Yeah, any toxin to the body is a toxin to the eye. And I'm going to say, and I barely go a live without bringing this up, but here's my saying, suck it up, buttercup. Out it goes. Just suck it up, buttercup. Yep. It's gone. Yep. And do the hard thing, because you know what? That one thing, no matter what it is for people, you know, could be stevia in their coffee, or it could be the nicotine gum, or it can actually be just regular gum or Diet Coke. That one thing that you're grabbing on so tightly and do not want to give up for the life of you is the one thing that you most need to give up. It really is.
Yep. And for many people, yes.
Yeah. And do the hard thing. You know, nothing really truly worthwhile in life comes easy. That's one thing that I remember my dad had said to me, and it just holds so true, that really you got to sometimes do the hard things, and you will come out of it going, damn, you know, be proud of yourself and do something that's hard.
Absolutely. Do you see any of your patients developing high uric acid on a carnivore diet? Because so many people are taught that gout and high uric acid are caused by eating a high purine, high meat diet. Do you check labs in your practice at all?
No, because basically, you know, the patients are coming to me having already had blood work with their primary, and it's all reviewed there. And, you know, I more get people who are like, can you please recommend a low carb proponent doctor? I can't go to my doctor anymore. He just wants to put me on statins. And let's go on to the subject of statins. It drives me crazy, you know, absolutely crazy. But yeah, you know, it's with everything. Ancestral man did not run around with gout. He did not go limping around with gout. You know what? Ancestral man ate fatty red meat. Okay. And if that was the cause of gout, we would have been actually extinct, because we would have been crippled with gout, and the wildebeest would have, you know, attacked us. So
yes,
it's not
absolutely
true. It's not true. You have to go down the rabbit hole and figure it out that he said a bunch of malarkey, and that's not the truth.
Thank you, basketball fan, for the super sticker. I've seen a couple of questions. People are intimating that statins might be related to damage of the retina or the lens. Have you seen any research that makes you worry about taking a daily statin like Lipitor, Zocor, Crestor, and it having a negative effect on eye health?
Yes, I've looked in some of those studies, and I'm going to tell you just emphatically, my opinion is, eat a healthy diet, get off all your medications, because there's side effects to everything. And, you know, the statins being high on the list because so many people, in my opinion, are inappropriately put on them. And evidently there's only a minute benefit to a minute percentage of the population, somebody who's already had a heart attack, and, you know, there's certain parameters. And so I'm like, get off the statins. Do you realize your doctor's just going along with the narrative? And maybe they just don't know better. They're not maliciously trying to hurt you, but they just are going along with the narrative of the pharmaceutical industry and what they're dictated by the standard of care. If he or she doesn't put you on the statin when your LDL is over whatever number that they keep lowering so they can make more money, it drives me crazy. There's so many side effects, and it is literally so detrimental to your health overall far outweighs any small benefit to that small percentage of people.
Yeah, and back when I was a private insurance slave and a Medicare slave and a Medicaid slave, I would write the prescription, but if they had high cholesterol or if they had type 2 diabetes, I'd write them a statin prescription and say, look, if you happen to, you know, accidentally drop this in the garbage on the way out, it won't hurt my feelings any, because I had to have that in the medical record, or I'd get a letter from Aetna or Cigna or Blue Cross Blue Shield saying, hey, you're not putting your type 2 diabetics on a statin, and that's standard of care. So I had to write the prescription and put it in the chart. But I very often counsel the patient, you know, if you misplace this prescription, it's probably not a big deal. And I noticed back when statins were first coming on the market full bore, there were a few studies linking statin use to cataracts. It's like, oh, there's an increased risk of cataracts. And that was a warning for a while. But then all of a sudden, doctor, that disappeared. Nobody talked about it. It was no longer researched. It disappeared from the handout that the patients were given. But I would not be surprised if the risk of a cataract goes up taking a statin every single day.
Yeah. And think about the studies that might show that kind of get pushed back and hidden because they don't want certain things to be shown or known. And then to your comment about telling the patient it's okay if this falls out of your pocket kind of thing. I mean, the standard of care with the whole macular degeneration is I had to document in the chart that I told everybody to take the ARIDS 2, Ocuvite, Ocular, you know, vitamin, zeaxanthin, lutein formula, right? But I would tell them that I'm supposed to tell you to take these, but I would really encourage you to look at this website. And I give them the cureamd.org. I say, look at the synthetic vitamin portion of that and make your own decision.
Absolutely. And that's so many healthcare providers, whether they're a mid-level provider or they're a paramedical, like a paramedic, an EMT, a nurse, a physical therapist, a PTA, they'll get in trouble with the corporation that employs them if they're too vocal about this. So many of them, they'll check their boxes, like a nurse, for example, like, okay, I told you to eat plant-based, lots of whole grains, lots of fruit juices. But when you get home, here's a pamphlet. I want you to look up Dr. Lisa Wiederman and Dr. Barry and all these other people. I had to check these boxes so I don't get fired. But when you get home, here's the real information. And so many of people are starting to do that. It's like, look, I kind of feel an obligation to my patients. I don't want to lose my job, but at the same time, these people, I have a higher degree of authority because I have initials behind my name as a nurse or a physical therapist. I'm not going to mislead these people anymore. I'm going to do this ninja tactic where I come in the back door and be like, here's my business card. On the back, I wrote down some websites. That's the kind of stuff many healthcare providers have to do these days. Shauna, if you want to find Nisha's channel, just go to YouTube and type in Nisha. She is the only Nisha on YouTube. She'll be the number one Nisha to pop up. Where are we going next with this, doc? Let's talk about, do you mind if we talk about women's health for a minute? Because there's been so many questions in the comments about, I thought women had to have carbohydrates. Won't my period become irregular? Won't I become infertile? Do I need to carb cycle? I know you probably hate that kind of stuff because it's all foolishness, but there are a lot of people in the watching this. We got 2,600 watching right now. They're like, no, I heard that from somebody I respect on social media. What about carbohydrates and women's health and menstrual cycles?
Yeah, I think the big issue is there's a lot of, oh, we'll just call it noise, conflicting, opposing views about what you should and shouldn't eat, what you can and cannot do if you don't want to ruin this or that. And, you know, I like to feel that I'm representative of somebody. I mean, I started carnivore when I was 44 and I'm 57 now. And
wait a minute. You're 57 years old.
Yeah.
Everybody take a good look. This is what 57 is supposed to look like if you're eating a proper human diet. I'm 53. She's 57. So maybe eating lots of fatty red meat's not that dangerous.
No. And you know what? You know, the question is a lot brought up as far as, well, without proper carbs, you're not metabolically flexible, you're going to ruin your thyroid, you're going to mess up your electrolytes, all of this stuff. But I mean, I can say I've got perfect thyroid health, all the markers I do extensive. And I got to the point where I used to do my blood work every year, and then it was just boring. And I was like, I don't need to do this. I have no need for the medical system, luckily, unless I break a bone or get in a crash or have some sort of severe, infection or viral weird thing that happens, right? But other than that, the system is there to write prescriptions for me, right? It's to get what your symptoms are and then give you the prescription. So therein lies why I don't need it. But I did decide, well, you know what? If I really want to be representative of this, let me get my blood work done and let me show women that I cruised through menopause fine. I don't take hormone replacement therapy. I'm not against it for certain people who have like really extensive bad symptoms. I have such sympathy for that. And I can imagine being at your wit's end and needing to do something. But again, I feel like if you stick with this way of eating long enough, your body is going to regulate and it's going to really get, it's the hot flashes. Let's be honest that most women are so troubled by. There's a lot of other things too, but I'm just going to say, I really, 13 and a half years without eating vegetables, fruit, grains, sugar, seed oils, I literally have just had a meat-based, meat, seafood, eggs, and we'll get onto the dairy thing too, Ken, if you don't mind too.
So just to sum up, both Dr. Wiedemann and I both agree women, whether you identify or you actually are, because we're both biologists, so we can tell you if you are or not, you do not need carbohydrates for your thyroid. There is not a shred of research that to support that. You do not need to carbohydrates for your period. You do not need carbohydrates for fertility. You do not need carbohydrate. You do not need to carb cycle. All of that is foolishness. And that some of the bigger gurus latched onto that because it kind of gave them a niche that they could talk about things that other people weren't talking about, and it helped them grow on social media. But when you get back to, first of all, the medical research and the nutrition research and the anthropological and paleoanthropological research, human beings do not need a carbohydrate to pass their lips their entire life, except when a baby is nursing, they need some carbs from their mother's milk. Literally, when you wean them off, you can wean them onto straight meat and eggs, and they'll do great. They'll be the tallest, sexiest, smartest kids in their class. I guarantee you, you don't need carbohydrates regardless of your gender or your sex. LZ, I saw your super chats. You're still going through carbohydrate withdrawal, okay? For some people, this takes 2 to 6 weeks to fully break that cycle. You will have bad cravings. You might even have muscle cramps. You may have insomnia. Just look up the withdrawal symptoms of withdrawing from nicotine or alcohol. You'll see that your symptoms almost perfectly mirror those symptoms because you are addicted to carbohydrates, and that's what's happening. Your blood sugar is great. Your ketones are great, but that has nothing to do with the fact that you were a carbohydrate addict. You're going to have to go through the withdrawal. It's going to suck. But as the doctor said, suck it up, buttercup. And I say that with love. I say that with love and respect. Thank you for tuning in from Qatar or Qatar. I can never get that right. I'm a country boy, so forgive me. But this is not permanent. This is not going to last. Once you get through this, you're going to be fine, I promise. All right, Doc, where are we going after this? We've covered constipation.
I want to talk about dairy because it's such a biggie, because I'm going to say, dairy, I don't think is like the ideal kind of thing that we should make a big portion of our diet, because
unless you're a baby.
Yeah. That's but right. It can be inflammatory and there's casomorphines in it. It can be addictive. But let me back up and say, if I didn't have cheese to rely on when I first turned to carnivore to get through that keto adaptation, just what that person was just saying, yes, in Qatar with the cravings, I would fry cheese I would fry up lots of cheese when I had a craving. I would spread cream cheese on slabs of bacon and eat that. And man, is that good. And boy, when you have a craving for your sweets and your sugars and your gum and your Diet Coke, just go eat some salty sausage or salty bacon, put a little cream cheese on it. You know, that those kind of things are what would get me through. Now, when you get to the level of where you're past that, and now your weight loss is stalled, but you were doing great, all right, then try to give up the heavy cream and the cheese. Then you're at another level. We're peeling away the onion here.
But let's talk about, tell us what is in dairy that helps with the carbohydrate addiction withdrawals. What is that? And then in the same respect, that same substance, for many of us, I have to be an abstainer from dairy. If I start adding the heavy cream and the cheese, before you know it, that's the majority of my diet. What is in dairy that's that helps with withdrawals, but also can make us addicted to dairy? At least some of us, not everybody.
Yeah, many. it's from what I've gone down the rabbit hole with the dairy thing, and I've read quite a few scientific articles regarding the addiction to cheese. And you can even type that into Google search, cheese addiction. There's casomorphine. It's part of the protein of the cheese. And what's the worst of two evils at this point? Right now, you and I are at a different level. And when we say, well, I really do have to abstain, I can't have bricks of cheese in my fridge. Let's put it that way. I can have little crumbles of blue cheese. I can have blue cheese because it's so intense. And I can moderate that. But if I have frying cheese, boy, I fry it up. It's calling my name until I do it. And forget about it. Fresh ball of fresh mozzarella. Man, that thing is, I keep going until it's gone, right?
I'm having withdrawals right now.
I know.
Yeah. And so more than likely, evolutionarily speaking, the reason the casomorphines are in milk, because I know somebody's going to ask this question, is because when an infant mammal, there has to be a reward in the milk, right? Because if a baby, an infant, doesn't nurse, it's going to die. And then the genetics die with that. And so there is no continuation of the gene. And most people who study this type of thing think that the casomorphines are in milk so that the babies get a little bit of a high, like, boom, boom. And if any of you guys have ever watched a baby nursing, and I've watched several, when they get done, they fall off the breast. They're just like, booyah, huzzah. They're just high on the casomorphines. And it's probably a little bit the carbohydrates, but I guarantee you it's the casomorphines. And that's that positive feedback. So that when they get hungry, they're like, no, I know what I want. I'm going back to the boob, right? Because that made me feel so good. David says he's been keto year and a half, carnivore 6 months. He just had a colonoscopy. I wish you'd told me your age, David. Doc found a minor diverticuli and recommended a high fiber diet. What are your thoughts? This is ignorant advice on your doctor's part, David. First of all, if you look like you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, everybody your age who's eaten a standard American diet in the past has diverticuli. Like literally, if you lined up 1,000 Americans who've been eating the standard diet, lots of fiber, lots of whole grains, they all have diverticuli. It's not caused by eating red meat. Secondly, what you're really worried about is diverticulitis if it gets inflamed. I've got a video on this channel about diverticulitis and how to prevent it. It has nothing to do with eating more fruits and vegetables and grains. That actually will cause you to have more flare-ups. Granny Berry, who's 92-year-old, my paternal grandmother, she had a diverticulitis flare-up eating the standard American diet. Even after I'd been doing this for a few years, she didn't listen to me because she changed my diaper before I didn't know anything. And she almost died from diverticulitis. And when she got home from the hospital, she's like, okay, can your diet help with this? And I was like, Granny, would you like to never have diverticulitis again? Well, she's like, well, shit, yes. I said, okay, here's what you avoid. And I gave her the list that we talked about earlier in this video. If you missed it, go back and watch it again. And she has not had another flare-up of diverticulitis in years because she doesn't eat grains. She doesn't eat vegetable seed oils. She doesn't eat just highly processed sugar-filled crap anymore. She hasn't had any more diverticulitis. And David, that's the thing, is you don't want to have diverticulitis. having a diverticula at your age is completely normal. It's literally ubiquitous in the human population if they've eaten a standard American diet at all. All right, Doc. Gary had a heart attack and three stents at 49 years of age, plus a pacemaker. I know you ain't going to want to answer this question. Is carnivore safe for me? Besides that, I'm in good shape overall. Yes, Gary, it is. It's 100% safe. Dr. Wiederman is an optometrist. She knows about eyeballs, but she does not want to step into cardiology. I'll be happy to take the hit on this and say 100% you need to avoid sugars, grain, vegetable seed oils. You do not need to eat another bite of them. Maybe one tiny slice of cake on your birthday. That's it. The rest of the 365 days of the year, you're going to eat fatty red meat and eggs with the yolk. Maybe a little cheese, maybe a few nuts and a few berries here or there, or maybe not. But the processed crap is out for the rest of your life if you'd like to continue to live a healthy, rambunctious life. Okay, Doc, we are at the top of the hour. I want to give you an opportunity. My people are so grateful for you to come over on my channel today. Tell us where we can find you. Well, first get this question and then segue into how people can find you and what you have to offer them. How can I start on carnivore, Dr. Wiederman?
Yeah, one, honestly, in so many years of doing this, I have so much confidence in the fact that success will come with surrounding yourself with other people doing the same thing. And that's why I've dedicated a lot of time and effort. And I host groups, carnivore groups. I have people, it's mixed. It's people who are 1 day carnivore, people who are 2 years carnivore. And I have a couple that are 5 years carnivore. And we're all in it together and we share. And it's a 1 hour Zoom every week. And it's a way to not feel so abnormal. Like your coworkers are naysayers, your friends, your family, everybody's kind of attacking you. What do you mean you're doing that? You still doing that meat eating thing? What are you doing? You're going to kill yourself. You don't need that. You need to be around people that are like, you know what we're being told is wrong. And let's look into studies. We share different links and share different podcasts. And it's just an amazing community. And I say addictions love isolation. All right. Community is the opposite of addiction. Join a group. So I don't know, you're going to put a link, I guess, maybe to the information. I just love hosting these groups and talking. You can ask questions every single week. And we just really just bring up all this stuff every week, anything that comes up. And it's
absolutely. I've got all your links down in the show notes. If you guys want to find Dr. Wiederman, all her links are in the show notes. She's very active on Instagram. She has a YouTube channel. She needs to write a damn book, Doc. Hello,
what are you doing? I'm working on thinking about that.
I like how you said that. That's awesome. Yeah. So you guys make sure and follow Dr. Wiederman on all the social media that you enjoy. And I'm already seeing people saying we need part two of this interview, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I'll give Doc a break for a few weeks, and then if she wants to come back 100%, I'd be honored and very happy to have her back. Thank you so much, Dr. Wiederman, for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me. And yes, absolutely. I would love to come back on. You know, I am just one. I want to scream it from the rooftops and get it to all the information to everybody who wants to hear it and just get healthy, because there's nothing without our health. We have nothing.
Absolutely. And human beings are designed just like every other animal on the planet. Our default setting is to be healthy and vigorous and vibrant and dangerous. Okay. That's your default setting. So if what I just said doesn't currently describe you, it's probably your diet, and you should listen to Dr. Wiederman. Thank you so much, Doc. I guess we're going to do round two. I see the comments are unanimous. Thank you for joining me. See you later.
Thanks, everybody, for joining.